Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Sleep Deprivation Institute's secret underwater headquarters somewhere off the coast of Iowa, it's the man dedicated to keeping the internet completely wired. This is Widge Goes Off with Widget Walls.
Friends are dead. Not what it used to be. Now you'll never have a place like home to rest your head.
Hello, hello, and hello. This is Widget Walls, and you are listening to Widge Goes Off here on QuickStopEntertainment.com. Oh, you know, I hate to laugh and sound like an asshole, but I am an asshole, so it's okay. So here's the deal. Here is the thing that is making me chuckle. If you look over at boxofficemojo.com for the weekend estimates, Superman Returns dropped almost 60% and now has a total domestic gross of about a little under 142. That's second weekend. Pirates, which, by the way, is very smart of Disney because they understand that when people talk about the film, they don't talk about Pirates of the Caribbean. They just call it Pirates, and everyone knows what it is because no one saw the Roman Polanski film, even though Walter Matthau was great in it, right? So on the commercials where they were basically saying at 10:30 on the night before it opened, come out to a midnight showing of Pirates. They call it Pirates, and they had the logo up on the screen, but it was just Pirates. That's when you know that you are dressed for success right there, my friends, is when you can simply throw out the one word of your movie, and people will know exactly, oh, did you see Pirates? Oh, people know exactly what you're talking about. But it did $132 million. So, $142 million domestic, $132 million domestic. Warner Brothers, they are shitting themselves right now, and I'm laughing at them. I mean, you know, I'm sorry. I mean, I feel badly for them, and yet I don't, because you know, and here's part of what I think their problem was. Part of their problem was that they were looking at this as a sequel, as a continuation of the existing franchise, whereas like with Batman. They were smart enough to understand that the worldwide revulsion that we all felt at Batman and Robin. They were smart enough to know, you know what, we just need to start over. Now, obviously, nobody who is around at Warner Brothers right now saw Superman 3 and 4 because they would understand. I mean, with Batman and Robin, for some reason, you talk about Batman and Robin and the wounds still, at least before Batman Begins, made us all feel better. The wounds felt fresh, you know what I mean? You still felt even more betrayed by Batman and Robin. But for some reason, people don't have the same immediate reaction to Superman 4, Quest for Peace, or Superman 3, The Quest for Richard Pryor. Which is odd, because I don't know why that is. I would love for somebody to talk about why that is, why the difference between the two franchises. But yet, so the whole idea of this being Superman 5 or Superman 3 that could have been or whatever the hell they want to call it, I think was a really bad idea. I think they should have just started over as opposed to – because, you know, it never works when you say, well, we're just ignoring 3 and 4. I mean, for some reason, that never works in a franchise. So, at least box office wise, because Exorcist 3 was actually a really great movie and just pretended like Exorcist 2 never happened. So, and if you haven't seen it, see it, because it's actually really good. George C. Scott, William Peter Blatty. Anyway, so yeah, I think that was part of the problem. And people realized that, as cool as it might have looked in the trailers, I think they clued into the fact that it was, they could stay home and listen to the John Williams score and have the same effect. And, you know, save the 16, 18 bucks that we were talking about. So anyway, so that's my take on Superman. I think they just made a fundamental mistake in how they went about making the film, and how they went about conceiving of it, how they went about writing it. You know, how much of that you can lay at Bryan Singer's feet, we had discussed that last week. I don't know. You know, I haven't seen the film yet. I don't feel any burning desire to go see this film, especially after watching a trailer without the John Williams score and realizing, well, this looks like shit. So, you know, I don't know. Was it the fact that Brendan Routh doesn't look like Superman? Was it the fact that the costume doesn't seem to work for some reason? I don't know. I don't know what it is. I would love for someone who is wiser than I to postulate some things. But that's my take on it. Is they should have done Superman Begins essentially, and just started completely over. Anyway, so that's my take on the box office, which, like I said, amuses me to no end. So while we're talking about comic book stuff, I've had a couple of emails from people because I mentioned in my first little rant that I wanted to talk about the comic book companies and why they're assholes. So first of all, I figure there's no time like the present, but let me expand upon that a little bit. Now, when I'm talking about the assholes of the comic book industry, there's I'm thinking about more along the line. When I talk about comic book industry, I'm actually thinking of it like you would think of, you know, when you think of the Industrial Revolution, lots of gears and mass production and smoke billowing from large smokestacks and shit like that. That's what I'm thinking of. So, of course, I'm thinking of DC and Marvel, who are good at, you know, mass producing crap that no one really wants to read. So, when I talk about assholes, I'm not talking about, you know, I mean, the people at Image. I have no problem with the people at Image. I mean, they're putting out books like Strange Girl, which is fucking crazy, and Walking Dead, which is the best comic book that's being published today, in my opinion. Dark Horse, they just seem above it all, you know, because they're publishing such, you know, such good stuff. I mean, like The Goon is sheer genius. So there's stuff out there that you can buy that's actually good. Don't get me wrong. You know, there's Viper Comics publishes some great stuff. There's all kinds of people. Moonstone is putting out the Buckaroo Banzai comic, which I'm excited as hell about, and the first issue is really great. So there's lots of people who aren't the big two who are doing good things. Meanwhile, the big two, they're the assholes. So let's talk about that first. Let's talk about the comic book industry in the context of the big two and why they are destroying the comic book industry. So first of all, let me explain very quickly, 50 words or less. I'm not coming into this not knowing shit about comic books. I mean, you know, I'm sure they're – I don't qualify myself as an expert, but I've been around a while. I picked up a Justice League of America comic in a drugstore. Remember back when they were sold in drugstores, Hey Kids Comics with a rack and everything? The metal racks, you remember the metal racks? That were such a pain in the ass if you were trying to get like a pristine, like a near mint or mint comic, and people would flip through them and it would always fuck up like right over the top staple. You know what I'm talking about? So that's where I started. Is I remember, and I'll never forget because it was such an impact on me, is it was like part two of a two-part JSA crossover thing, right? And you know, I could probably pick the cover out of a lineup if you showed them to me. It was around 180, 190, somewhere around in there. I remember that because I was totally hooked, and then issue 200 was like a really big deal. But no, I read this thing and I was just astounded. And it was the first comic book I remember reading, and there might have been, you know, others. Kind of like the what Gemstone puts out now, the Mickey Mouse or whatever, Archie or who know, God knows what. I mean, earlier in my life, but I've blocked out most of those years because they, you know, that's what you do because it's all trauma. But no, I you know, it was a huge impact on me. I knew the characters because I watched Super Friends, which is why I have no inner dialogue, because, you know, they had no thought balloons, so they thought out loud, which is why I think out loud all the time. So if you see me talking to myself, blame Super Friends, basically. So I watched Super Friends. I know who all the major players were, but I came in on the second part of this, and I had no clue, but I was like, different Earths, different versions of the characters, going back to what, and all these villains, and Jesus Christ, this is cool. So I was like hooked from then on. And you know, so I found the comic book store locally and you know, bribed my grandmother to drive me down there and pick up comics, and got a little box, you know, and and read DC, and then found Marvel with the X-Men. I found back, this is even before they really even did trades, right? A reprint of, and I probably still have it somewhere actually, of the Dark Phoenix saga and X-Men. And I read this and I was blown away. I mean, because it was absolutely amazing, the story. And so I was totally, totally addicted for years and years and years. But basically, so I've been around for like a while, and I've spent God knows how much money on these damn things. In fact, I even ran a little collectible thing out of my closet for a while. I would get a collapsible table and the long boxes, and you know, I bought Overstreet religiously, right, like you do. And I would go to comic book shows and set up a table and buy, sell, trade, and the whole bit. And this is even before I could like drive, so I had to get my dad to like throw the stuff in the minivan and cart me down to the show, you know, so I could set up and everything. But I loved it. I was having a great time. So I've been reading comics for a long fucking time. And so that's why it pains me to talk about this. But here's the problem that you have right now is that, I mean, look at DC, okay? DC basically has completely lost their way. You've got stuff like, I mean, basically, Prelude to Infinite Crisis, or whatever the fuck it was called, where Blue Beetle got his head ventilated. I mean, not necessary. You know, Identity Crisis, where you had a really beloved character raped, and you know, I of all people, if you've read any of my stuff, know that I have no compunction about doing terrible things to my characters if it serves a purpose, and I usually don't show it, right? Because it's so much more effective not to show it, because your imagination will make things worse than I possibly could as a writer. So to have a page and a half of Sue Dibney being raped basically on camera, okay, not necessary, okay, to have her, and then to have her, you know, killed, and then you know, killed while pregnant, it's just not necessary. You know, to have the freedom fighters, to have, you know, one of them beaten to a pulp by Bizarro, it's not necessary, okay? You can have horrible things happen and not have to basically have it be like a fucking Quentin Tarantino film all the time. I'm fine with Quentin Tarantino films, but that's not what I read comic books for, okay? So you've got all this violence and shit happening, death and rape and stuff happening in DC Comics, okay? Totally unnecessary bullshit, okay? And people are so, you know, the fanboys are eating it up because it's so, ooh, it's so edgy and shit. No, it's not. So that's DC. Marvel's problem is this. Marvel's problem is that they do these event bullshit stories, right? And you know, they've got Brian Michael Bendis to basically run the company for them. And I really, you know, a lot of people give Bendis a lot of shit. I really like Bendis's stuff, okay? I was enjoying New Avengers before they disassembled them again and I swore off Marvel. You know, I liked Ultimate Spider-Man. You know, fuck, I like Powers, you know? But you know, there's only so much that a guy can do. So you have something like House of M that sounds like a very interesting idea, but the problem is anyone who's read Marvel for any length of time doesn't buy it. These huge universe-changing events at Marvel are ultimately meaningless because any of the changes that happen, you know, can be undone at a writer's whim. You know, Colossus has this huge death that's very, you know, profound and meaningful and tragic and stuff, so he can sacrifice himself. Oh, but it turns out it wasn't him and he's alive, you know? Totally undoes the previous story, okay? You know, Jean Grey's died I don't know how many times. Perfect example is the big shocker at the end of House of M, Iceman loses his powers. Oh, well, we were just kidding. Like, what was it, 6 weeks later? So, anybody dying at Marvel, or any real change happening at Marvel, is a fucking joke. Because I've gone ahead and said that when House of M, when all the various, I don't know, Duplex of M and whatever the fuck else they're calling the next series, or whatever this Civil War bullshit that comes out of House of M, whenever that finally, boils over and is done with, you'll wind up with more mutants than when you started, or at least as many. Okay? And so it's utterly meaningless. Even this thing that pissed me off to no end, the Peter Parker revealing himself as Spider-Man, which got all this publicity, it's meaningless because for all we know, this is Marvel. You could have somebody say, "Oh, it was just a fucking dream or something," and it would be over with. So that's Marvel's biggest problem. Now they're doing a lot of the same bullshit at DC. But that's just on an individual basis. I mean, when Spider-Man's eating some guy's face, okay, that's not necessary either. When you've got, they're the victim of stupid stories more than they are violence. I mean, like Gwen Stacy fucking the Green Goblin and having kids or some stupid shit. I've tried to block it out of my memory. But they're the victim of, no editorial control. Because people can bring back whoever they want or do whatever the fuck they want, and the fanboys eat it up, and bad writing. And that's basically it. And since Bendis can't write everything, you're going to have some bad writing. And I'm not fond of everything Bendis has done, like House of M. I thought it was interesting while it was kind of the Age of Apocalypse thing going on. But beyond that, that was about it. I mean, the ending and the beginning I could have done without. So those are your problems. DC going edgy and violent and rape and death and shit and suffering. And like I said, I posted this on One Tusk. You went through Wizard, and they had like 52 reasons or some shit to read DC during, 1 year later. And what were they talking about? They were talking about characters having sex, okay, which I'm not a prude. I don't have a problem with that. But it shouldn't be that big of a deal. I mean, unless you're an idiot, or unless you're, an aging fanboy who lives in your mom's basement and has never really had it, it's not really anything to get excited about, comic book characters fucking, because people fuck, all right? It happens. So they were talking about that. They were talking about, people were going to suffer, and people were going to die, and stuff was going to change. And, and DC's idea of change is, I don't mean to insult anybody by this, but hey, I've got an idea. Let's diversify our line by making, Blue Beetle Hispanic, and the Atom is now an Asian dude, and Firestorm is black. That's a great idea. Let's get rid of some characters that people enjoy, and let's replace them with, people of different, skin colors, so that we can try to diversify. That's their idea of big change at DC, okay? So, wonderful. Does any of this sound appealing to anyone? I didn't think so. Now, so here's the biggest problem. They're producing crap, that's one thing, all right? But here's why they're killing themselves, and here's why they're ruining the comic book industry. I mean, it's not enough to have crap, okay? Because we've all read crap, all right? If you're into comics, you've bought books. And as you were buying them, you were thinking, why the fuck am I buying this? Because this is garbage. I mean, you've thought that. I mean, for God's sake, I bought Ron Mars' Green Lantern, okay? When it was every other month, it was the whole story was, let's beat up Kyle and take his ring, okay? I bought those books. I'm not ashamed to say it, because we've all got books like that, that we went, any minute now, this is going to get better. It's got to get better. You know what I'm talking about? So anyway, that's not the problem. Crap stories, the comic book industry can survive crap stories, obviously. The reason the comic book industry is killing itself is because it's not creating any new readers. And I'm not talking about people getting interested in buying the books because of going to see Batman Begins or going to see Superman Returns, because I'm sorry, that's not happening. Okay, I can go watch X3, all right, and then go pick up one of the 15 mutant-related books and not know what the fuck's going on, okay? I won't recognize any of the characters. I'm like, the Beast is a cat? What? I won't know. So if I'm a non-comic book reading person, I won't know what the fuck is going on in the new book. So you're not getting any new monthly readers based on these movies, okay? And then again, on the DC side, hey, I just watched Batman Begins, and then I picked up the Batman book, and what? He just recently there was recently a young girl tortured with like a drill for hours and hours and hours. The spoiler? That's great. That's wonderful. That's exactly what I want to read. I want to read stuff in a comic book that's shit I could see on the evening news. That's wonderful. Thank you, DC. Or Superman, where I don't even know what the fuck they're doing to Superman in the comic books these days, but I guarantee you it doesn't look anything like the movie. Especially if you pick up All-Star Superman. Oh yeah, All-Star Superman and All-Star Batman. Those are pieces of shit, aren't they? It's amazing. It's amazing how bad they are. No one, just I thought that Morrison's dialogue in All-Star Superman was crap. And then I picked up All-Star Batman and I was like, holy fuck, that's unbelievably bad. So anyway, so you're not getting any new readers from the movies, okay? They may be kidding themselves, but that's fine. Where you get readers for life is exactly where I became a reader for life from, and where I bet most of you, if you're into comic books, got hooked is when you were a kid, because they were cool, okay? And you could read them. And so these days, DC will come out and tell you. I mean, what's his face? Head of DC, Paul Levitz, right? Paul Levitz actually said, we're not marketing to kids right now. It's not a concern of ours to market to children, which is a good thing since, you've got people getting raped and killed and brutalized and shit like that in your books, and you don't even, bother to put a mature reader's tag on it, asshole. That's unbelievable. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want. And shop owners, I know you're aware of this, okay? I know that you are taking steps to make sure that kids don't get a hold of books they're not supposed to. But, I mean, how frustrating is it for a parent? Some kid, let's say some kid goes to Superman Returns, thinks it rocks ass, okay? And wants a Superman book, and goes and finds Identity Crisis, which has Superman on the cover. And then the shop owner has to explain, no, ma'am, you really don't want your child to have that book, and then have to go into it, right? To have to explain why. So DC said they're out of the kids market. They haven't figured that out. They don't know what to do with it. Marvel, I'll give Marvel credit. They're trying, okay? But if you've read any of the Marvel Adventures books, those are ass. If I was a kid, there is no way in hell I would spend money on Marvel Adventures. I picked up a Marvel Adventures team up that I think would have been cool if I was 4. I mean, because there was a giant Fing Fang Foom like character who was actually who actually his name was Goom. I'll never forget this. It was so traumatic. His name was Goom, and the line was, "Yo, yo, yo, Goom is in the hizzy," or some shit like that. No, that's absolute crap. What they've forgotten is that you could have good stories that actually had people getting beaten up, okay? You had characters dying, okay? You had bad things happening, but they were still books that kids could read and not feel traumatized by. I mean, I picked up Justice League of America. It was a totally mainstream DC book. It wasn't written for kids, but I picked it up and was fine with it. I actually got into it. I mean, Jesus Christ, the Dark Phoenix saga. That's some fucked up shit if you really think about it. I mean, you've got Mastermind playing with Jean Grey's head, and she's like dressed up in the Dominatrix outfit, which, for like young kids, it's like guys, is like really like, whew, thank you. And John Byrne, thank you, buddy. And so you've got that going on and the mind fucking, and then she blows up like 8 billion souls with a whole sun, and then she incinerates herself. I mean, that all happens on camera. But the way it was handled, you're not feeling like you've just, like I said, you've watched some kind of snuff film. All right? So the problem is, you're not getting any kids to read comics. And as a result, they're not getting hooked on it. What they are getting hooked on is video games. They're getting hooked on the internet. They're getting hooked on, watching shit on TiVo. They're going to forget you. And then later on in life, they won't do like we do. I mean, for those of us who left comics, we come back to it. the people who are, I was reading, I think it was in Comic Journal, where they were talking about the people who grew up reading comics are now going out and buying, I think it, no, I think it was in one of the Tomorrow's magazines, where they were, I think it was Draw, where they were talking to Kyle Baker. I think that's right. Tomorrow's, great magazines, by the way. You should check them out, especially if you're like the old school stuff. But they were talking about how people grew up reading comics, and then they fell in love with the stuff, and now they can afford to buy Jack Kirby original artwork, so they do, and they've got it hanging up in their offices and shit. So you're not gonna have that, because kids aren't reading comics. There's no draw to get kids to read comics. So who is reading comics? Aging fanboys, which is sad because those are the same people writing comics. And I've said this before, and it's very true. It's still true. Just because you get paid to write fan fiction does not mean it's not fan fiction. And all of this shit about, hey, what happens if so and so fucks so and so, or what would happen if so and so died and came back, or some shit like that, it's all fan fiction. I'm sorry. I've actually read better fan fiction, okay, than some of the stuff that's getting published in DC and Marvel today. So that's your problem. Now, what do you do to fix it? Okay? Obviously I know the problem. What's the solution? Well, the solution is pretty fucking simple. The solution is you've got these hotshot fucking writers over at Marvel. Not so much at DC, okay? DC, they appear to have editorial control. They're just creating crap on an editorial level. So that's a whole different problem. But at Marvel, you just need editors, okay? Who can rein in these people? Who can say, "You know what? That's not a good idea." Or, "You know what? We're following this line and we need to stick to it." Okay? They need to get writers who remember what it was like to be a kid reading comics to write their kids' line. Because they don't. They I don't know where I don't know what kids they think that they hang out with, or if they try this with, other kids to say, "Here, read this and tell me what you think." I don't know. I wouldn't let my read let if I had kids, I wouldn't let them read it because it's garbage. Okay? So they need writers who can actually write for kids and not write for mentally damaged kids, doing their kids' line. Okay? So that's what you need. With DC, they just need to, I don't know. I don't know what DC could do at this point. They need to fucking get over themselves and quit feeling so self-important and actually write good stories that make sense. The problem with both companies, as from a writing standpoint, is that instead of creating stories that fit the characters, they're coming up with a story first that's saying, "I would like to write X story," and then shoehorning the character into that story. So characters are doing things that make absolutely no sense for them to do from a character standpoint, and they're not being true to the characters, which is why so many people, like myself, are just giving up on DC and Marvel, because we know it's all garbage. And here's the thing. I'm not saying that Superman and Batman have to be kid-friendly, okay? I'm not saying that Spider-Man, if they think they can sell a book where Spider-Man eats some guy's face, more power to them, all right? Face the amazing face-eating Spider-Man or some fucking, I don't care, I don't know. But basically, I mean, they should do what they said they were going to do with the Ultimate line, which is, create a different line of books that followed a different path. That you could have a kid-friendly book with. Ultimate Spider-Man is really the only kid-friendly book that's actually worth reading that Marvel puts out. I mean, it's really a great book for kids. That is exactly, if you want to know what I'm talking about when I say a book that a kid could read and not think they were being talked down to, Ultimate Spider-Man, at least the first two trades, is exactly the right tone and everything that you're supposed to do. Okay? But I don't understand why you can't have a version of the Avengers that's the Ultimates, that's for adults. I actually like the Ultimates. I don't think it's that bad because I understand what it is. It's Marvel trying to do the authority with the Avengers. I'm okay with that because there's still another Avengers book that at least, for the most part, wasn't supposed to be like, this isn't the only Avengers book. There's multiple Avengers books. Have a kids' lines of books. Have a line of books that's Spider-Man for kids that's actually written well. Avengers for kids that's actually written well. Have a version that's for adults. Have a version that's for the old school people that wishes Peter Parker never grew up and got married and he stays the same all the time, which is basically Ultimate Spider-Man right now. So just divide up the line so it's easy. So when a kid walks in with their mom, the mom, you know, you can direct them to this section of the store, which is the kid-friendly section of the store, and that's the Spider-Man book you should buy. I think it would work. Same thing with DC. I'm not saying that if you really get, you know, if you get off on watching, Sue Dibney, you know, get, I don't even want to think about it. But basically, if you like the dark and edgy stuff, have a dark and edgy line of books, you know? But let's have a Superman book that is actually well-written that kids can read. Let's have a Batman book that kids can read, okay? Why can't we have it both? I mean, for fuck's sake, you're publishing how many titles, each of you? I mean, kill two or three of your lowest-selling titles, and let's try to get these things created for kids. I mean, you know, I'm sorry. I'm trying to think of some crap books that you publish that I know no one is reading, but there's far too many, and my brain is freezing up. But give us some books that kids can read. Give us some books that the rest of us can read that don't completely offend our sensibilities. And don't feel like we're watching, you know, DC meets Kill Bill. It's just not necessary. Now, will any of this happen? No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be a long way down the line before, sales drop to the point where anything will change. I really do. Because I think there's still enough aging fanboys living in their mom's basements who like this kind of thing. That will support it enough for the companies to keep rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, basically. Now, the only thing that's going to be interesting that might change beforehand is if all of these movies that get put out. I mean, like Superman Returns. I meant to look this up. It might be the most expensive movie ever made in adjusted dollars. I don't know. I'll put that in the column when I write it later. I'll look it up. But basically, I mean, $260 million for just this movie, not counting marketing, not counting all the development costs. You know, that's a big hole in the pocket of Warner Brothers. So they are, like I said, they're shitting themselves. So, you know, what happens when you have to stop looking at DC Comics? You know, it's supposed to be this basically tax write-off R&D shop for characters that you can then spin off into other media. Well, if you're spinning them off poorly, you know, what does that do? What does that do to the line of comics? Where does the blame fall? Same thing with Marvel. Marvel's a publicly traded company. You know, what do they do? Right now, they're doing fine. I mean, Spider-Man 3 is coming up, which is guaranteed moneymaker. X3 made a shitload of money, still making money. You know, it hasn't even hit DVD yet. That'll be huge when it does. But I mean, you got crap like Ghost Rider coming out. Hulk 2 is in permanent development hell because they're so embarrassed by what they did with the first film. They can't admit to stockholders openly that there's never going to be a Hulk 2, just because, you know, it was such crap the first time around. So how much can you do apart from Spider-Man and you know, you got Fantastic Four 2 coming, but is anyone excited about that? Of course not. So, you know, I don't know. Will anything change? I don't know. In the meantime, what I would tell you to do is if it's crap, stop buying it. If it's DC and Marvel and you don't like the way things are going with them, vote with your pocketbook and stop buying it. If you've got kids, Viper Comics has got Otis Frampton's Oddly Normal is a great book for kids. Top Shelf has got the Owly, which is good for really little kids. It's good for anybody because it's so cute. You want to hate yourself for liking it because it's just so awesome and cute and stuff. I mean, I like it. You know me and cute. I mean, I break out in hives, but I'm cool with it. So Owly's great book. What was it? Previews a couple of months ago did a whole lineup of books that are for kids. So they're out there. If you've got kids, if you've got nieces, nephews, children of your own, grandchildren, whatever, and you want to get them hooked on comics, there are things that you can do to do that, so that it doesn't die out. So look for those books out there. You know, if somebody wants to, you know, put a thread, although my message form isn't going anywhere. If somebody wants to put a thread out there talking about comics that are good for kids, that's awesome. We have to help each other through this dark age. But otherwise, buy the books that are good, shun the books that are not. Tell each other about the books that are good so that we know what to buy. And then, you know, hook some kids on comics. If you got some old comics of your own that that you're, you know, been sitting on, give them out to some kids. It'll be good for them. So anyway, that's my comic rant. It was a long one, so thanks for sticking with me, the five of you who did. So that's it. I have no idea what the hell I'll talk about next week, but I'm sure it will make your ears bleed, whatever it is. So anyway, come check us out on neatcoffee.com if you have a check, have a second, and you've read everything on Quick Stop, which is a lot to read, I assure you. There's a lot of shit going on around here. But yeah, no, that's it. Read some good comics, listen to some good music, and until next week, I shall simply say, be good.